start.
Yeah, I think I will start. Otherwise, I won't have. I mean, I like to talk a lot, so I won't have enough time anyway. So thanks for coming to my presentation. Today I'm going to talk about the challenges of updating everything. So my name is Working. I'm also one of the CI/CD DevRoom maintainer. I'm working for SUSE on all things related to Kubernetes Rancher. So if there are anything you want to talk about, feel free to reach out after my presentation. But today I'm not here to talk about what I'm doing at work. Here to present a project that I started before joining SUSE, back then when I used to work on a Jenkins project. And that project is named Update CLI. So Update CLI is a command line tool that we use to automate things. So the design is to run it on your machine, on the CI environment, whatever it is. And so you specify in the manifest what the update strategy would look like. So initially, I wanted to talk about first Update CLI and then all the challenges that you have when you want to automate Docker images, when you want to automate infrastructure or whatever. But I won't have the time to do that here. So for those people in Ghent, for the configuration management camp, I will have more time over there. So here, I will just focusing on what Update CLI is, what the problem is, and what I'm trying to do. So the challenge that I face is quite often when I maintain large amount of projects, something that used to work do not work anymore. Like you're using Hugo, for example, to generate a website. And then at some point, you cannot deploy the website anymore because even though the project released a new Hugo version, they failed to build and publish the Docker image associated to that. Or you would realize yesterday I was investigating an issue where Update CLI would deploy and would roll back version of the Nginx Ingress controller, and then it ended up that the people maintaining that container just deleted the release, forget to remove the Git tag, and those situations. So you would expect something to work, you won't automate. And the thing is, when you get in those situations, you try to understand why it didn't work. I mean, it used to work for years, and then suddenly it doesn't work anymore. And then so you spend time trying to understand what's the latest version, what's the changelog, what something failed, basically. And so when you want to automate those updates so you don't have to pay attention to them, I mean, it obviously has benefits, right? I mean, by curiosity, who's using, for example, Dependabot or RenovateBot to automate things, updates? Yes, a few people. It's only the start. But once you start automating things, you know that, obviously, it gets easier to change your project infrastructure documentation, no matter what, because you get confident in the change that you want to do. And in my case, most of my projects are hosted on Git repositories. And one of the challenges when you think about those Git repositories is everything is a file. And what you try to do is you try to automate them, but most of the time you have no idea what you're trying to update, right? So for example, Dependabot will just look at a package of JSON. So if it finds a package of JSON, we'll list all dependencies and try to update them one by one. But on the other side, for those people using, for example, random JSON file, there is no way to know in advance what should be updated in those files. And then you have all those middle grounds, like for example, for those people familiar with Docker file, you have some instruction that you can automatically update, like the from instruction. It's pretty straightforward to know what you need to update. You don't know what you want to update. That's a different story. But the thing is, you know that you want to automate the base image. On the other side, you can put pretty much every information in the run instruction, the label, the env instruction, and that's where things get difficult. So when we started working on Update CLI, we wanted to think, okay, we want to automate everything, so we want to define where the information is coming from, what are the conditions to automate the thing, and finally, what should be the state of your file on your Git repository. So if I go back to my Hugo example, the idea is the source of information is the latest Hugo release. That could be the Git tag, that could be the latest Docker image published, that could be the GitHub release, for example. But at some point, we have to decide what's the source of truth for that specific application. And then you have like a bunch of conditions that you want to apply. Like, does it make sense to bump the version in production if you fail to bump the version in the dev environment? So you want to be sure that you are using the same version everywhere, and only then you will bump all the files related to that version. And so when we come back about Update CLI, the idea is we specify a manifest, we have to write a manifest. So that's the main difference, for example, than for Dependabot, because Dependabot, you just enable the bot and it works. But it will only detect what it can detect. But most of the time, you have no idea what you should update. With Update CLI, we went the other way. We write a manifest, so for example, this one is You have the source of truth. In this case, it's a GitHub release, so can GitHub release. And then you have the specification where you provide all the parameters for that specific project. So in this case, I am monitoring the GoEgo.io Git repository. This one gives me a version, let's say 100, that's the latest one. And what I want to do is I want to be sure that all my files named netlify.tumyaml are up to date. So I look at the key, and then if I run this manifest on my machine, it will just bump the file on my machine. If I run this manifest on a CI environment, it will bump the file in the CI environment. And so the next step is, okay, that's one thing to have it working in a machine, but then you also want to be sure that your Git repositories are up to date and don't pay attention to them. So you can just focus on what really makes sense in your case. And so the next step is, okay, we want to specify where that file is located. So we have a bunch of other resources. In this case, it's SCM of type Gitty because I want to update Gitty repositories. And then I specify that I want the pull request approach where I create a temporary branch and then someone can review my change. And then when you think about all those building blocks, you can really have like more advanced scenarios. Like this one is another project that we use, where we use it is when someone releases a new version of Epinio, we use GitHub Action there that send a bunch of release events automatically to other Git repositories. And those Git repositories will trigger Update CLI. So Update CLI will retrieve all the different information. So for example, on apinio/docs, which is obviously the website, we retrieve the latest version of Apinio, and then we check that all the download links are up to date. We check that we have the version for that specific website. So we maintain one documentation per major and minor version. So we try to be sure that those files are up to date. And if it's not the case, we open a PR, and then as part of the release process of Epinio, someone needs to review the PR and double check that it still contains the file that you want to have there. Another example is the way we automate Helm charts. We define, okay, we are monitoring the Epinio UI, which is a front application, and we monitor the backend, the Epinio. And then if for some reason there is a new version, then it will automatically bump the Helm chart, bump the metadata, and so on. And once again, we have a human validation where someone can just come look at the PR and decide if we want to go one step further. So really briefly here is when we... automated update is not a so easy challenge as I initially thought, because we split the project in three different categories. So the first one is declarative. So the idea is you know in advance what should be updated, and so you define in a manifest how you want to update something, because it's not something that you can define in advance. The auto discovery is a bit more like for those people familiar with Dependabot or RenovateBot. You just run the command and you ask it to automatically detect what could be updated. There are scenarios where you can find that information. For example, on the Maven project, you have the pump.xml, you fetch all the dependencies and update them. That's pretty easy. On other projects like Docker containers, it's kind of a mess over there, so it's super difficult to know what should be the next version. And then on the other side, you have all those situations where you specify a constraint, a version constraint, like you don't want to use a version bigger than the 1.0, but at some point, the project upstream is like way further than you are in your project. So at some point, you need to be aware that you will need to plan some work to catch up on the upstream project. And so that's another experiment, which is Update Monitor. So I want to do a quick demo. I don't have like good internet connectivity here, so I hope it will work. So on the left side is one of the manifests. Is it big enough? Oops. So on the left side, we specify a few things like, okay, in this case, we want to enable the auto-merge feature of GitHub pull request. We specify labels, so we automatically like open a PR. And if all the tests are passing, it will merge the PR automatically. And so I don't have to pay attention, which reduces, obviously, the noise introduced by those PR. We need to specify which project we want to go. So in this case, that's the Update CLI website. And finally, we specify where the information is coming from. So this one, we monitor GoEgo.io. As I said, we could have, like, instead of monitoring the GitHub release, at some point I could have said, okay, I just want to monitor the Docker images. But in that case, I just need to provide different piece of information. Or you could say, for example, I want to monitor, not here. yeah, writing from the IDD is the easiest way. You can specify different ways of filtering version, because what's something that that we notice, for example, is when I said the Docker ecosystem is a mess, is you can put whatever information you want in a tag. So there is pretty much no way, I mean, most of the time, there is no way to know what should be the next version. Then depending on the registries, they don't return you the latest version because they don't sort the tags in the same way. So at some point, you need to enforce a specific behavior. And then the target in this case is, if there is a new version of Hugo, we want to be sure that the workflow file has a version, has the correct version, and that the Netlify is up to date. So I don't care. And so what it looks like on the other side is just a CLI, as I said. So you can run it from my machine, Linux, Mac, wherever you want to run it, and then voila, you get the latest version, changelog, depending on the situation. And based on that, you can just combine the projects. And so we have a lot of different workflows where we automate things. The last thing, how many time do I have left? 5 minutes?
More than five.
OK. Where is that? It's not this one. So the thing I was mentioning for the monitoring the different versions. So this one is a different way to see the problem. Is you want to monitor the version that you are using at some point, and so you want to compare. Okay, in this case, I have one on one location. I say I want to monitor a version from the netlify.tmyml. So it gets me a version which is 0.110. And on the other side, I want to compare with what's the latest Hugo version. And so if it does not match, then I know that I need to work on that at some point. And since I have a bit of a time, I can quickly show what the auto discovery looks like. Fleet Lab. Yeah, the auto discovery is a bit more difficult because you need to know in advance what you want to do. But where is that thing? Yeah, this way. As you can see, we don't have like a lot of support at this time, so it's mainly around containers because I'm working on containers most of the time. But so it will parse the file. So in this case, it identify it's a Rancher project where we have fleets, and then based on that, it will try to fetch all the different versions specified in the fleet project, and will suggest other version. So that's it for my presentation. And. Voilà. Is there any question? One time, two time, yes, there is one over there.
Hi there, thanks for the presentation. You were talking a lot about the Penda bots, but you didn't mention about Renovate. I wonder how much it overlaps with Renovate, if it could be a more customizable one.
So the question, I mentioned the Penda bots. I didn't mention that much Renovate bots. So if you compare the Penda bot and Renovate bot, Renovate bot is way better than the Penda bot, because the Penda bot, I didn't have the time to cover the main. There are a lot of things that I didn't have the time to cover. But for example, one of the features that I really love in RenovateBot is it allows you to group PRs, which reduce the noise. Because for example, DependaBot, especially for those people maintaining JavaScript projects, DependaBot can just open like 10, 20, 30 PRs, and then you have to review all of them, test. And so there are different strategies to update. RenovateBot is just way better in the way that it supports more modules. On the other side, it's not really easy in the case of RenovateBot to have workflows where you really want to say, okay, I fetch a version, I check a bunch of things, and then I update other target basically. So I would say RenovateBot is better in the auto discovery part where it can detect things for you. But on the other side, you don't have that. It's not really easy to have like very complex update scenarios. That's it. So Carlos. the floor.
Thank you.